grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the epistle for this day, Romans 13, verses 11 to 14. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Although there are still 33 days until New Year's Day, today is the beginning of the new church year. And we begin the new church year by looking toward the end, that last and great day, when the Lord Jesus, who once came in lowliness as Mary's child to bear our sin and be our Savior, will come again in power and great glory to judge the living and the dead. As St. Paul says in the epistle for this first Sunday in Advent, salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Salvation in the sense of our final deliverance from sin and death and all the demonic powers. For no matter how chronologically near or far that last and great day might be, it is in fact nearer to us now than when we first believed. With every passing day, with every passing hour, with every passing minute, we come closer and closer to that day of judgment. It's important to remember that most of our Lord's teaching about that last and great day was given during his last week of his earthly life, the week that began with his entrance into Jerusalem and then ended with his death and burial. Jesus spoke of the coming judgment during that last week before his death because he knew that his death on Calvary's cross would change the dread day of judgment into a day of great mercy for all who put their trust in him. For on Calvary's cross, Jesus absorbed the just judgment of God against us sinners and blotted out all our guilt, so that the end of all things has thereby been changed into the beginning of the life eternal and the joy everlasting. Through faith we make Christ's righteousness ours. Through faith in him we are fully and completely forgiven. We are eternally loved. All this he has done for us out of pure mercy. He has so loved us not because we are lovable, but because he is love. I love those words of that 17th century poet, Samuel Crossman, who said that Christ's love is that love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Yes, faith alone saves. Because only through faith can we receive the pardon of all our sins. But a so-called faith which pays no attention to the will and the word of God isn't genuine faith at all. It's in fact a counterfeit kind of faith of which we read in Holy Scripture. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe in that sense and tremble. Genuine faith is simple trust in Christ's mercy. But genuine faith proves itself. Genuine faith shows itself in a life of daily repentance, of daily turning from sin, and daily receiving the Savior's freely given pardon. And yes, the pardon we receive in baptism and in absolution and with the sacrifice, body and blood of Christ in the sacrament, that pardon is the anticipation. It is the sure and certain promise of the pardon all who trust in Jesus will most certainly receive on that last and great day of judgment. And because we believe and trust in the Lord, who has shown and will show us great mercy, we look forward to that last and great day not with terror and dread, but with joyful expectation, praying with love and hope. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. That is our hope, that is our joy, that is our life, because Christ, our dear Savior, is our hope and our joy and our life. The epistle for this first Sunday in Advent comes from the 13th chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Paul spends the first 12 chapters of that letter extolling all that God has done for our salvation. And then he spends the last 5 chapters showing what we must do in response to the great mercy we have received in Christ Jesus. In these last 5 chapters of his letter, Paul is saying that because God has done all this for us, because the Savior has suffered all this for us, and because the night this world's bondage to sin and death and the devil is about to end, and because the last and great day is nearer than ever before, therefore we are called to wake up from our spiritual drowsiness. Therefore we are to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And Paul speaks very specifically of these works of darkness. He speaks of orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality, and sensuality, which so often occur under cover of night and are somehow even more disgusting in the full light of day. But Paul not only denounces these so-called sins of the flesh, he also denounces such sins as quarreling and jealousy. Indeed, all those secret desires we'd like to hide from other people, from God, and even from ourselves. From God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. In fact, everything that cannot stand in the light of the matchless kindness and compassion of the Savior. There's a prayer which I think wonderfully sums up all I've been trying to say this morning. It's a prayer for this first Sunday in Advent, and it was written by Archbishop Thomas Cranmer for the first Book of Common Prayer, which was published in 1549. And this is Cranmer's prayer. Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put upon us the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which thy Son Jesus Christ came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, now and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus.